I will follow you. I will follow. I will follow. I will trust you. I will trust you. I will follow.
The powers of darkness can't drown out. Tonight we're going to learn a new song that fits with our message tonight. It's a song that was released in 2000, so some of you may have heard it on Christian radio, and others this may be new, but it does have a catchy chorus, and I hope that you'll join in and try it. For a moment, we're going to change the order of worship from the bulletin and go ahead and take this time for prayer requests. One that was sent to me that we've had on the prayer list the past, I think, week or two, Shiloh Branson, the baby at Vanderbilt, today was supposed to receive a heart. So we're very excited about that. I mean, In any situation like that, it is bittersweet because we know what has to happen for Shiloh to receive her heart, but it's a blessing for that family. So let's just continue to pray that the surgery goes well and that her body accepts the heart. Are there any other prayer requests? Peace. Rose Tidwell. Thank you. Are there others? Any others? Okay. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just come to you tonight, thirsting for your word and how what message you have to speak to us tonight. What God-shaped hole do each of us have that needs to be filled? What's trying to take its place? We ask that you open our ears and our eyes and our hearts to your word. As we open our voices and our hearts to praise you. Amen. Please stand with me. A message titled "In God We Still Trust?" Question mark. Pam Kamis.
Isn't it wonderful getting older and your children's friends call you Granny? I don't like it, but I guess it's better than other things they could call me, huh? Okay. I went over this sermon with Susan the other day because I felt like when I was doing it, I was jumping all over the place. But I got an email from Diamond Rio. Marty Rowe and Jeff belong to the same golf club. And we got an email from Marty with a song that they had written and play at their concert, but it will not play on mainstream country radio because they consider it politically incorrect. And it just really, I get home, Jeff said, you've got to see this and read this. This is really going to get you fired up. And so since then, I've been thinking about this and some of the things I want to say, and I'll share that song and video with you guys at the end of the service. But in God we trust. Does this still ring true for Americans, or does this phrase only have historical significance? One nation under God, is this still true? Do we find it hopeless to cling to our Christian trust and beliefs? Have we allowed Satan to worm into our lives and souls and convince us that no matter what we say or do or pray, the world around us will continue to spiral out of control? Things will never get better. The world is like a freight train on the wrong track. When is it going to crash? From the beginning of the knowledge of good and evil, human beings have felt this way. We have believed and had faith. However, the minute we didn't get our way, or life got tough, uncomfortable, tragic, we turn our back, slack off on our prayers, let worship slide. Other obligations take priority in our lives. God takes a back seat. We buy into Satan's lies and turn our back on God. The state of our world today seems to be hopeless. It is no longer politically correct to use the names of Jesus Christ or God unless you're taking their names in vain. We've all read about the effort to take "In God We Trust" off our money and God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. There are even those who want to take any reference to God or Christ out of the Christian cartoon VeggieTales. Yet around the globe, there are people who are literally dying for the freedom to worship God. We have soldiers from our country and others fighting, being wounded, and dying daily so that all people can have the freedom to worship who and when they desire without fear for persecution. Many times we've heard Savetta share with us the struggles that she has dealt with in Russia concerning her faith. We need to recognize, as our founding fathers did, that without God in our world, we can never survive. I'd like to read you a commentary by Andy Rooney, who you of all, probably most adults know, is on 60 Minutes. Did you know, as you walk up the steps to the building which houses the U.S. Supreme Court, you can see near the top of the building a row of the world's lawgivers, and each one is facing one in the middle who is facing forward with a full frontal view. This is Moses, and he is holding the Ten Commandments. Did you know, as you enter the Supreme Court courtroom, the two huge oak doors have the Ten Commandments engraved on each lower portion of the door? Did you know, as you sit inside the courtroom, you can see the wall right above where the Supreme Court judges sit, a display of the Ten Commandments? Did you know that there are Bible verses etched in stone all over the federal buildings and monuments in Washington, D.C.? Did you know James Madison, our fourth president, known as the father of our Constitution, made the following statement? We have staked the whole of our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. Did you know that Patrick Henry, the patriot and founding father of our country, said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." Did you know that every session of Congress begins with a prayer by a paid preacher whose salary has been paid by the taxpayers since 1777? Did you know that 52 of the 55 founders of the Constitution were members of the established Orthodox churches in the colonies? Thomas Jefferson worried that the courts would overstep their authority And instead of interpreting the law, we begin making the law, which is called an oligarchy, or the rule of few over many. The very first Supreme Court Justice, John Jay, said, "Americans should select and prefer Christians as their rulers." How then have we gotten to the point that everything we have done for 220 years in this country is now suddenly wrong and unconstitutional? It is said that 86% of Americans believe in God. Therefore, it is very hard to understand why there is such a mess about having the Ten Commandments on display and in God We Trust on our money and having God in the Pledge of Allegiance. And of course, he had a few choice words for these people, but I won't share those with you. What our ancestors seem to recognize is that every being was created with a God-shaped hole. This hole can only be filled by him. God is the core of our very being. Those of us who have tried to fill that hole with other gods, relationships, shopping, alcohol, sex, drugs, money, we know that while those things can satisfy for a while, only Christ can quench the thirst that flows inside of us. I have a little visual for you guys tonight. All right, take this apple. There's a hole in the center without the core, okay? It can only be filled by the core by which it was created. The core fits perfectly, okay? Without the core, there's no seed. Without the seed, it cannot grow. This is very much like humans, individually and globally. Without our core, we can never expect to grow. We will only turn brown, wither, and be composted back into the soil. No hope of ever rising again. To give another example of this God-shaped hole, I'd like you to watch this clip from CNN. It's about a 12-year-old art prodigy. Let's see if I can do this without messing it up.
A self-taught artist who says her inspiration comes from above. Paintings that are spiritual, emotional, and created by a 12-year-old prodigy.
This painting is called Father Forgive Them. I've completed this painting at the age of 9.
Her name is Aki Anna. She picked up the brush when she was just 6 years old, but the visions, what she calls inspiration from God, started when she was just 4.
The first time when she came to me, I knew it was real to her what she was saying, and the visions of God and things she had seen, places that she has visited.
She began to describe to her mother in great detail her visits to heaven.
All the colors were out of this world. There hundreds of millions of more colors that we don't know yet. And flowers were crystal clear.
Her mother, remarkably, was an atheist. The concept of God never discussed in their home.
And I explained to her, you have to believe me, this is a different way, a way that's so mysterious that God wants me to go through.
To 4-year-old Aki Anna, God quickly became a part of her daily life and eventually became a part of her family's life too.
I think that God knows where he puts our children, each family.
Aki Anna describes God as vividly as she paints him.
God looks to me like a bowl of light. He's pure. He's really masculine. He's really strong and big. And his eyes. Just beautiful.
doesn't stop at her artwork. Only a few months ago, she decided to learn the piano and is now already composing her own music. But it is her painting that truly captures the incredible spirituality of this young girl.
The visions, to me, I felt it was like he's explaining himself to me and what he does to this world.
She is a self-taught painter, and as she grows older, her paintings grow more expressive, more colorful, more complex. A girl who, armed only with a brush and some paints, is determined to capture the essence of her faith and hopefully, along the way, inspire others to feel the same way.
The most important thing in this world is faith. Without faith, you cannot communicate with God. It's just so beautiful out there.
It's a pretty amazing story, isn't it? This child, even with an atheist for a mother, was filled with God's Spirit and had the faith to listen and act upon what was being shown her. Mark 10:15 says, "Anyone who does not have the faith of a little child will never get into the kingdom of heaven." This child was ultimately used to lead her mother to salvation, and God knows how many other people. Do we trust in our faith enough to hear God when He is speaking to us? Are we waiting on a shout, or are we listening for that tiny whisper in our lives? In God we trust. Is that a true statement? Do we trust Him unconditionally, or only when we decide we're out of control? Do we really believe and trust that while He may be allowing Satan to run amok at present, one day soon God will send His Son back to earth with a loud trumpet blast, and He will come with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see Him, as it says in Revelation 1:7. Are we giving God every aspect of our life, or are there times when we clench our hands around life and refuse to let go? Do we trust enough to believe that God loves us no matter what? He wants each and every one of us to be with Him, and He will show mercy to all those who ask in the name of Christ. I'd like to close with you by reading a story called Give Me Your Pearls. The cheerful little girl with bouncy golden curls was almost 5. Waiting with her mother at the checkout stand, she saw them, a circle of glistening white pearls in a pink foil box. "Oh, Mommy, please, please, can I have them, please, Mommy?" Quickly, the mother checked the back of the little foil box and then looked back into the pleading blue eyes of the little girl's upturned face. $1.95, that's almost $2. If you really want them, I'll think of some extra chores for you. And in no time, you can save enough money to buy them for yourself. Your birthday's only a week away, and you might get another crisp dollar bill from Grandma. As soon as Jenny got home, she emptied her penny bank and counted 17 pennies. After dinner, she did more than her share of chores, and she went to the neighbor and asked if she could pick dandelions for 10 cents. On her birthday, Grandma did give her another new dollar bill, and at last she had enough money to buy the necklace. Jenny loved her pearls. They made her feel dressed up and grown up. She wore them everywhere, to Sunday school, to kindergarten, even to bed. The only time she took them off was when she went swimming or had a bath, because Mother said if they got wet, they might turn her neck green. Jenny had a very loving daddy, and every night when she was ready for bed, he would stop whatever he was doing and come upstairs to read her a story. One night, as he finished the story, he asked Jenny, "Do you love me?" "Oh, yes, Daddy, you know that I love you." "Then give me your pearls." "Oh, Daddy, not my pearls. But you can have Princess, the white horse from my collection, the one with the pink tail. Remember, Daddy, the one you gave me. She's my very favorite." "That's okay, honey. Daddy loves you. Good night." And he brushed her cheek with a kiss. About a week later, after the story time, Jenny's daddy asked again, "Do you love me?" "Daddy, you know I love you. Then give me your pearls." "Oh, Daddy, not my pearls. But you can have my baby doll, the brand new one I got for my birthday. She's beautiful, and you can have the yellow blanket that matches your sleeper." "That's okay. Sleep well. God bless you, little one. Daddy loves you." As always, he brushed her cheek with a gentle kiss. A few nights later, when her daddy came in, Jenny was sitting on her bed with her legs crossed Indian style. As he came close, he noticed her chin was trembling, and one silent tear rolled down her cheek. "What is it, Jenny? What's the matter?" Jenny didn't say anything, but lifted her little hand up to her daddy. And when she opened it, there was her little pearl necklace. With a little quiver, she finally said, "Here, Daddy, this is for you." With tears gathering in his own eyes, Jenny's daddy reached out with one hand to take the dime store necklace, and with the other hand, he reached into his pocket and pulled out a blue velvet case with a strand of genuine pearls and gave them to Jenny. He had them all the time. He was just waiting for her to give up the dime store stuff so he could give her the genuine treasure. So it is with our Heavenly Father. He is waiting for us to give up the cheap things in our life so that He can give us beautiful treasures. Isn't God good? Are you holding on to things that God wants you to let go of? Have you tried to fill that hole inside of you with harmful or unnecessary partners, relationships, habits, and activities? Have you become so attached to these that it seems impossible to let go? Do you trust in God, in His words and promises? Do you still believe that we live in one nation under God? Sometimes it's hard to see what's in the other hand, but do believe this one thing. God will never take away something without giving you something better in its place. The book of Job states that Satan asked God's permission to test Job's faith. With God's okay and under strict instructions not to kill him, Satan was allowed to take Job's family, friends, riches, and health. All alone, Job remained faithful to God, and in the end, God restored to him everything twofold. Job 42:12-17 says, "So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life, even more than in the beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. He named his first daughter Jemima, the second Keziah, and the third Karen Hoppuk. In all the land there was no other women as lovely as the daughters of Job. And their father put them into his will along with their brothers. Job lived 140 years after that, living to see 4 generations of his children and grandchildren. Then he died, an old man who had lived a long, good life." Let Satan attempt to take away everything good and holy in this world. Let the unbelievers laugh and scoff at us. Let them attempt to take away our freedom to worship. Let them try to prevent us from practicing our faith. God is on our side, and in God we still trust.
One nation under Him. God, we still trust. Here in America, He's the one that turns you. Every time the going gets rough, He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
You are receiving a hole. You don't know what God looks like. Your version, or imagine, it's a God-shaped hole. What is trying to fill your God-shaped hole? Or what is trying to find its way into that God-shaped hole that can't fill it, but it's trying so very hard, or it's trying to push God out and take the place of that of God? A set a place. Take this time silently to write down on the whole what is trying to fill yours. And when you're ready, if you want, you can come and discard that thing, whatever it may be. It doesn't have to be a thing or that feeling or whatever it may be. Discard that at the altar. And then return to your seat or another place in the sanctuary that you feel comfortable and continue to pray silently. For God to remove that from your life. Is there someone that did not receive a circle or a pencil? Let us pray. Deer. It's also found in the Renew Hymnal on page 9. Thank you. Pray, I'd like us to reflect on the prayer requests that were mentioned earlier. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your message to us tonight. And we know that you know what needs to be done in each of these situations, and we ask that your will be done. and that we find peace and understanding. In your Son's name. Lord, be glorified. Questions. We will have worship, dinner and worship next week during spring break, so please come and join us and as we praise God. And I need to see the youth that are going to BCYF right after.
Life without Jesus.
Life without Jesus
is like a donut. It's 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 like a donut.
Life without Jesus.
Life without Jesus. It's like a donut. It's like a donut.
Be there.
Oh, in the middle of your heart.
God bless you. Please, we need a few strong guys to move the pulpit and the table to prepare. Thank you so much. We can do nothing without strong guys.
Thank you. Oops.